What do you do when your kids grow up and leave home? Well, if you're sensible like David and Veronica James, you go travelling. Then you write about your adventures. David and Veronica run the website gypsynesters.com. They are not only empty nesters, but because they do a lot of travelling, they are gypsy nesters. David and Veronica, before your kids fled home, did you take them on as many vacations as possible?
Yeah, we tried to travel with them, you know, at least as much as possible. As they got older, of course, it was easier. So we kind of started a tradition of taking a big trip each summer with them, you know, especially before they went off to school. So, yeah, they all still love to travel. They definitely have the travel bug instilled in them.
Our most memorable one was when we took them cross country. We just did cross country across America and hit like a bunch of, you know, national parks and that kind of stuff. And the youngest was still in diapers. And I can tell you that will fill up the back of the van. Just the little guy with all the accoutrements, you know, it's crazy. But
it was fun. Yeah. Trying to keep them from falling over cliffs and that kind of stuff.
Camping. That was fun. Tent camping. It was great.
There are times when you actually want to push them over the cliff, though. Oh, no.
We won't go on the record for that.
Well, I will. I know with mine, we used to take ours out. Occasionally you think, oh, you know, it's when they're sitting in the car, you are we there yet? You know?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Well, 2,000 miles across the country, there was plenty of that.
Yeah, I know. So your kids have gone, they've deserted you, or did you just sort of give a bit of a push? Did you give them a bit of a push?
No, they were all excited to go out and start their way in the world, which I think is great. And that, I think, is that's something we write about on the website, that's your ultimate goal as a parent, is to get your kids to be, you know, happy, productive adults. And so we were really glad that they all three had, you know, ideas and were excited about going out into the world and pursuing their lives, you know.
And do you have grandchildren at all yet?
Not yet. We're not allowed to talk about it.
Oh, okay.
our girls both live in New York City, and they're those, you know, fast walking, F-bomb dropping, you know, serious New Yorkers. And if you bring stuff up like that, you get the dressing down, that's for sure.
And your son's a bush pilot in Alaska, so they really do have different lives, don't they?
They do,
absolutely. Yes. It's crazy. You know, you can raise three kids and you think you do, you know, you basically raise them the same, but ours are polar opposites.
Yeah,
you can have three polar opposites, that's our kids.
Well, that's all right. You've just invented a new pole, so I don't mind.
Yes.
The middle one.
We have the third pole.
That's right.
But yeah, they've all got very individual personalities and very different, you know, lives and made their own way, you know.
But it doesn't matter how different they are or how individual. You love them all equally to bits, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Definitely. Absolutely. And mom's not handling it. Yeah, I mean, they went off on their own. They're doing great. We're really proud of them. And even though I knew in my head that was our goal, it's still, I still have really hard time, especially when I leave them now. You know, we just got finished visiting the girls and, it's so hard to go away.
Yeah,
you know?
She gets withdrawals when mommy withdrawals.
Do they get parent withdrawals, do you think?
I don't know. Probably less so than the mommy.
Yeah. My son, he lives in a place called Darwin, which is in the Northern Territory, which is quite remote. I mean, Australia's a remote place anyway. But I've found that since he's left home, we've actually become closer. Did you find that with your kids?
Yeah, in a lot of ways, I think, because and this is another thing we talk about on the, our website is not all about travel. We also talk about
it's a lot of good advice as well.
That transition. So we do talk about that too, and that's making that transition from being parent to child to being adult to adult and having a relationship with your kids when they're no longer kids, when they're full grown. You have to kind of transfer. You can't act like mom and dad, you know, you got to do this and be home by 10 o'clock or whatever. You have to let them be adults, and to make that transition is important. And when you do it right, like you say, then you actually get closer to your kids, I think.
Yeah, the teenage years are tough, and sometimes sometimes you think they're going to just take off and never talk to you again, you know.
I don't know about you, because I know you've got two girls and you've got a son. And I found that with my situation, with the girls, the bad years are only from about 12 to 24. And with the boy, the bad year is from about 14 to 18. Did you find that?
I don't know. Our son was so much easier than the girls.
Yeah, they are.
I have to agree with that. I don't know. I mean, like I said, they're all different. And so, you know, they all surprised us with their rebellious in different times.
But
you know?
The teenage girls, you're right. I mean, the teenage girls are tough, you know. And so I was maybe not quite at 12. I think they were a little older than that. But, yeah, they turn
feral.
Well, it's, trying to be nice, but
no need to be nice.
I mean, they do. There's a big change there, right in the teen years, where they go from, especially I think men, fathers feel this more, of that, you know, all of a sudden they're not daddy's little girl anymore, and they start really questioning everything you say, and they start thinking that you're out to get them, and you know that you're trying to ruin their life and all. But ours were good. As soon as they got off in the world away from us, they really seemed to fairly soon to kind of realize that we weren't trying to ruin their lives and that we really did have their best interest at heart. So
that's a great feeling when they tell you, thank you for keeping me in line. It really is. It's one of the best moments of parenthood, I think.
And we're lucky. We've now gotten, ours are all old enough that we've gone past all of that. So we're in kind of a second phase of empty nest now, where they're all out of college and they're all on their own and doing their own thing. And so it's kind of a nice, it's a nice thing to have them all be, you know, doing their own thing and being successful at it.
Yep. Let's forget about the kids. Let's talk about you, because that's why I'm speaking to you.
Okay.
Who decides where you'll head to next? Is it a democratic decision, or is there a dictator on the premises?
I think it's pretty democratic.
Yeah, I think
you know, we both have our passions. You know, for instance, David's a train nut.
Oh, are you? Oh, David, I love you. So am I. Oh, yeah. I'm going to talk to you about trains. Thanks for speaking to us, Veronica.
nice to have you.
We could go off on that for a while.
But it's interesting because, I mean, his whole family are just fanatic about, I say they get saucerized. Their pupils get really big.
Oh, yeah.
When you say the word train. And I, you know, I was just never around him as a kid and just never really thought about him. But because of his train nutliness, I have gotten to see some amazing things.
Yeah.
We rode the fastest train in the world in Shanghai,
the maglev.
Yeah. That was pretty crazy. And, you know, I've just seen, there's just so much you can see only by train.
Have you been to Switzerland yet to see the trains there?
We have not together. I was there back in the old days, back in the 90s. I used to work over in Europe a lot. And so I have spent a great deal of time in Switzerland and ridden the trains there, but not since our gypsy nester days. But that's on our list, definitely. And the train there in Australia that goes up through the center of the country there is definitely.
You're talking
on
about
our list.
the Garn that goes from Adelaide up to Darwin, where my son is. I've done that. Well, so much fun. And we have the Indian Pacific, which goes from the east coast from Sydney to Perth. That is fantastic.
Yeah, that looks like a wonderful ride.
My wife and daughter just did that a couple of weeks ago. I've done it before, and they just loved it. They're fantastic trips.
Well, next time we manage to get back down to Australia, we will have to do that.
Yeah, well, there's plenty of great little train trips here. But Veronica, what's your passion? If David's is trains, do you have a passion for anything at all?
I think I get craziest around animals. I just love, you know, wildlife. We went to the Galapagos, and that was just a dream come true. We were just in Queensland. Oh, my gosh, you guys have weird animals over there. I had so much fun.
We have weird people. What are you talking about?
I love you. I just, everybody I met. You know, Australians are so, we made the mistake of telling, you know, we worked with the Queensland Tourism Board.
Yeah.
And when we were planning the trip, we made the mistake of saying, you know, we want to do some fear conquering things.
Okay, yeah.
Oh,
so kind of challenged.
They had us, we jumped out of an airplane.
Yeah, with a parachute or without a parachute?
With a parachute and a guy attached to us, thank right. goodness, because I would have forgotten to pull the ripcord, I'm sure. I would have been one of those people. And we got to feed crocodiles. That was really crazy. So
aren't they powerful things when they grab that bit of chicken and you feel them on the end of the line? Aren't they powerful?
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah. Remarkable. I mean, just looking down into
those jaws. Yeah.
that's a once in a lifetime kind of thing. Pretty amazing, yeah.
You're some of the few Americans that actually make it to Australia. A lot of Americans think, I can't do that 18-hour flight.
But it's a long ways, yeah.
But it is a long way, but it's worth it when you get here, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I learned all about compression socks. Because normally when I have the swelling from the long flights, yep. I do the diuretic thing or whatever, yeah. whatever I have to do, and found that you only have those over the counter, or you don't sell those over the counter there. So I was in a big mess. So I figured out very quickly how to combat that, because it is a long flight, but yeah. oh yeah. my gosh, it's so worth
oh,
it.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
it's yeah. We had just an amazing time, and we really only got to see a little bit of the country. I mean, it's like you say, it's a huge country, and you know, for us to spend 2 weeks in just even a small portion of Queensland, there's so much left to see. So yeah, we definitely, it's on our list to go back and try to see more. And of course, it could take a lifetime to see it all.
Oh, well, it would do, yeah. And of course, you went out to the Great Barrier Reef, which is the oldest, the largest living organism on Earth. And it is remarkable, though, isn't it, when you get down into the corals and when you swim there, when you dive there or snorkel there, it is just such a beautiful environment.
Oh, it was amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah. We went out to this little island called Lady Elliot Island. Yeah. Are you familiar with it?
Yeah. Oh,
absolutely paradise.
Yeah, and the snorkeling was incredible. Sea turtles that were just perfectly happy to have you around, which was new to us. Because, I mean, we'd seen turtles before in the Galapagos and in the Caribbean, yeah. but they usually are pretty shy and run away from you. These ones just stayed right around. And the coral is just remarkable, totally different than what we'd seen in the Caribbean as far as the health of it and the yeah. colors, and just remarkable.
Yeah,
absolutely,
it's like
amazing.
Fireworks.
It is. Yeah, it is remarkable. Of course, you know what? You probably saw the second best reef in Australia, because the best reef in Australia, as far as wildlife is concerned and marine life, is Ningaloo Reef, which is off the West Australian coast. Oh. And that's the second longest reef in Australia. It's, I think it's 280 kilometres in length, but it's knee deep. You walk out and knee deep, and you don't even have to be able to swim to enjoy it. But most of it is a marine sanctuary. And you get everything there, but the most incredible things you get there, of course, you get the whales, which go past, because they go from the Antarctic waters up to the tropical waters, so they go past there and nest there. But you get the whale sharks, which is the world's biggest fish, and these things grow to, in your terms, they'd be 10, 15 metres. In your terms, they're 40 to 50 feet.
Wow.
And you can swim these things. Now, it's quite safe because they're filter feeders. They don't have teeth. Right. And they just glide through.
Oh, my favorite kind of shark.
No, yeah. That sounds amazing. We, like I say, I mean, we definitely are looking forward to getting to go back to Australia. And I think, you know, to see the West Coast would be nice, just because it would be, you know, different from we spent a fair amount of time on the East Coast, obviously. And it would be really great to see the other side.
Well, you know what? The state of Western Australia is 3.5 times the size of Texas.
Wow.
It's the size of India, and it's got a population of just over 2 million people. And I say that because when you come here, you spend a lot of time driving without seeing any towns whatsoever. So you've really got to spend some time here. But anyway, while we talk about what I'm wanting to talk about, we should be talking about your other travels, and you have done a lot of travels. Some of the interesting things I noticed, you went to the Bone Cathedral or the Bone Church in Sedlec in the Czech Republic.
Right.
Now, that is an extraordinary place, isn't it?
Oh, very much so. Kind of a surprise to us too. I mean, we obviously saw it on the internet and learned about it, but to go there, it's one of those places, and you hear people say this a lot, but it's really true in this case, that you really have to see to feel, you know, to understand, to believe, I guess.
Well, you can't understand it. That is beyond understanding. I mean,
photographs, you know, they just don't really do it justice as far as just how strange it is. I don't know. One of the more bizarre places on Earth, I think.
Did you find out, because I'll explain that what they do there, that they just have, well, probably tens of thousands of bones of thousands of people. But not only do they preserve the bones, but they sort of make things out of them. They make artworks out of them.
They make decorations. Yeah. They made a chandelier that has – they specifically – it was one monk did this back a few hundred years ago when they were having to – they had too many bodies for the room that they had for the cemetery is what happened. It became really famous. There was some legends about that the church had ground from – the Crusades, they had brought back ground from the Holy Land, and suddenly the local people all wanted to be buried in that cemetery.
It was the place to be buried.
And so they ended up with just way too many people for the room they had for the cemetery. And they kind of closed it all down for a few years and turned this one monk loose to do something about it without really any instructions what to do. And I'm guessing that some people were probably pretty surprised when they saw what he did, because what he did was take all the bodies and put them inside the church. And then he, like you say, he made decorations for stuff on the walls, but he made a chandelier that has one of every bone in the human body in it.
And there's a coat of arms. Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy. It's just, you just walk in there and it's, the sound is really dead in there. No pun intended. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it's like walking into a soundproof room and it's eerie. It's just, I don't know how to explain it. It's just bizarre.
It's really hard to explain. And that's why I say you have to actually be there, I think, to get a feel for it. I mean, the feeling that you get when you're standing among, like you said, tens of thousands of people, you know, dead bodies. It's pretty strange.
What do? You go in there and say, I've just come to visit mother. Well, that's her third light in the chandelier.
I know that's a really strange thing. Somebody even mentioned that made a comment to us on the website about that, and like, but I don't know. I don't know that anybody even really knows who's who anymore.
Probably not.
Yeah,
but you have seen some other amazing sights. Creatures of the Costa Rican night, for instance. Jungles do come to life at night, don't they? So what was your experience there?
Oh, we were so lucky to find this guide that just, it was unbelievable how he spotted things in the night. We could have walked through the forest. We actually, earlier that day, we had walked through the forest or through the jungle and saw nothing. And it was broad daylight. And so we were thinking, oh, do we even want to go on this tour? Because we're not going to see anything. And it was unbelievable. He just went out there with the flashlight, and we ended up seeing the most amazing creatures, the tree frogs. You know those tree frogs, the real green ones with the red eyes that are so famous? Oh, it was crazy. And then they were all mating, and, you know, we'd go up and just, he'd just find them. It was, it was just brilliant. It was just a beautiful
night. A lot of reptiles. The reptiles are having a big time at night.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that was neat. That's on the grounds of this really amazing eco resort in Costa Rica called Parador Hotel and Resort. They have just become part of the jungle around it. Yeah, and they planted trees that the monkeys love. And so you're actually in this really nice area, you know, with nice accommodations. But you walk outside and it's like you're living in this.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, every day from our balcony, you'd see monkeys, you know, going across the trees, several different varieties of monkeys. Howler monkeys would be they're the loudest animal in the world. So they'd be making their racket off there. And just, they really built the hotel specifically to mesh into the jungle and be eco-friendly. And they've actually increased the number of species that have come back into the area since they built it. Cause when they bought the land and built it back years ago in the 90s, it was, you know, it had been kind of
degraded, a lot of degraded.
Right. And now it's back to being really pristine jungle, and the animals have all come back. So, yeah, without even really leaving the grounds of the hotel, we saw dozens, if not hundreds, of different species of animals there.
Costa Rica is a very interesting destination anyway, isn't it? Because it has two coastlines from memory, a Caribbean and a Pacific coastline.
Right.
It is one place in the world where they are very, very, they want to be the most environmentally friendly country
most
in
certainly.
The world. And
it
their
shows
tourism
so
is all gauged towards that, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly.
It really shows. I mean, it's crazy how well they have have done that, and they're so proud of it.
We were on the Pacific side. Yes. But and then also another thing that makes Costa Rica amazing is it has, I think, for the size, the most active volcanoes of any country in the world. And we did get to go up right on the edge, right on the slopes of an active volcano. It's still hot. I mean, it's hot enough that the ground is warm, you know? And the water, there's hot springs because the water is so warm from it. It's it's an really, really interesting place.
And Costa Rica, I think, is the only country in the world that doesn't have an army.
True, yes, you're right.
So it is an unusual place. If you want to go and see some really good volcanoes, Vanuatu is a very good one. There are some very accessible volcanoes, active volcanoes there, and you can go right up to the crater in a lot of them. And Mount Tanna is one of them. It's fantastic. So there you go, Vanuatu. That's one to add to your wish list, I guess.
We are. I'm writing all of this down as you give us tips.
I'll have to become your travel agent. I'll make a fortune. Have you put together a bucket list of places you want to see, or does that sort of change all the time, or are your travel decisions more sort of spur of the moment affairs?
Well, there were some things, and there's still a few that are on there. The Galapagos Islands was definitely on the bucket list, and we managed to check that off. And Machu Picchu in Peru was one of those places we really wanted to see. The Great Wall of China we managed to get to about a year ago, and that was certainly one of them. But a lot of it pops up as you travel. You learn about more places.
Yes.
And you go, oh, wow, I really want to see that, you know. So the list expands
constantly. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. The more I travel, the greedier I get. I mean, it's just how it is, you know. The more you see, the more you realize that there's more out there.
It really touches your curiosity when you go. Talking about the Great Wall, though, isn't that one of the greatest things to actually be on the wall? You've read about this thing for possibly your whole life. And all of a sudden, you're there.
Yeah.
I was going to say you're walking the Great... Nobody walks a Great Wall. You climb the Great Wall, don't you?
Right.
It's pretty steep. But what a fantastic experience to actually be on it, isn't it?
It really is. And I don't know when China opened up for Australians, but for us, you know, as kids, we never dreamed we'd ever be able to go to China. It wasn't even on the radar. So just being able to go to China itself was a huge thing. But to be on the Great Wall, and we're so competitive, which is so ridiculous. You know, we had about 4 hours there, I think. And we almost missed the bus back into Beijing because we had decided we had to be the higher, one of us had to
see
be higher.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just crazy. David still has what we call the China lump in his back from running up those stairs as fast as we could.
Yeah, but, Betty, you're right. It is truly an amazing feeling and one of those places where you have to kind of stop. Stop yourself.
Am I really here? Yeah.
Right. And say, no, take it all in and say, wow, I mean, look where I'm standing.
If you say, look at changes all the time, I'll understand. But do you have any favorite places that you've been to?
Well, we get asked that a lot, and I hate to just keep going to the same thing, but the Galapagos certainly jumps up when we say that. One that's a little probably less known, certainly around the world and even here in North America, we spent almost about a month in Newfoundland last year.
Yeah.
I had just the best time. I mean, just an absolutely phenomenal place. for all different reasons, mainly because the people are just fantastic, but also the scenery, the food, the culture, everything about it was just fantastic.
I have Bohemian ancestry. My grandparents came over from there. I had okay. always
is seen... that is that where the gypsy comes from in the gypsy esters, is it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm Romania, you know, Czech Republic, you know, that both of those, that's where both of my sets of grandparents came from. So I've always wanted to go to Prague. I mean, I remember as a kid, just we had an encyclopedia in our house, and there was one picture in this encyclopedia of Prague, and I probably spent a really large part of my childhood just looking at that picture. I just say, so when we went to Prague, it was amazing. I mean, it just spoke to me. It was in my blood. And every corner, every time you turn a corner, there's something surprising and wonderful. And, you know, it's a real crossroads of a place. The architecture comes from so many different places. I know.
Did you see the Fred and Ginger building?
No.
Ah, that's a building. Well, you have to use a bit of imagination, but it's called the Fred and Ginger because it looks like two people dancing.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Somehow we missed that.
Oh, okay. Well, go back and have a look at it.
We'll have to be back.
Well, yes. We're definitely going back. We're definitely going back. It was just it. But yeah, that's very much up on our favorite, my favorite place.
Yeah, no, I loved it too. And it is, I mean, it's hard to, a lot of times when people ask us what's your favorite place, it's usually the either where we are or where we just were. Yeah. The last thing you saw.
You planning to keep on traveling for as long as you can do it?
Yeah, we've got a trip down to Mexico coming up here in a couple of weeks. We're going to spend a few weeks or a month or so down in the Yucatan and go to Chichen Itza and see the Mayan ruins down there and stuff. And some other stuff in the pipeline for later in the winter.
We're hoping Southeast Asia, November-ish, so that we're really excited about that.
We usually don't plan more than, you know, a month or two in advance because things come up and whatever, and we like to be able to be spontaneous and jump at any opportunities that arise. So, we're not big planners. We actually have the slogan we're saying we used to go by was the plan is no plans. And it just kind of meant to let life take us where it was going to take us.
You know? And I'm assuming that you're not really backpackers. When you get to some place, you don't mind good accommodation. Would that be right?
Well, our backpacking days are probably behind us. I mean, we used to do that and we used to camp in tents and be out in the wilderness more. But no, we prefer to have a bed nowadays.
Yeah. We have a funky little RV that when we're in North America that we travel in. So, you know, we kind of have a little home on wheels. But yeah, our days of not having a comfy bed, it just takes a toll on you. You know, you hit a certain age
But that's not to say we don't like to get outside. We do. We definitely we have mountain bikes and we like to hike and you know, get out and see things. But we just like to end up in the bed at the end of the day.
And you just like to be comfortable at night, I guess. That's the main thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I say, those days, it makes it also you feel better. You know, especially if you're keeping a pretty strenuous schedule, if you want to really see as much as you can when we're, you know, if we, like you said, fly 18 hours to Australia or drive 3 days to Newfoundland or whatever, you want to then be able to enjoy as much of it as you can. And so if you get a good night's rest and you don't feel, you know, if you're not tired and achy and whatever, you're going to have a lot better time.
You've got a book coming out. I think it's been released in February next year.
It is. Yes,
we do. Called Going Gypsy. And is this just a book about your adventures, is it?
Yeah, well, the subtitle of it kind of describes it. It's called One Couple's Adventure from Empty Nest to No Nest at All. And so basically it's the story of how when our youngest got going off to college, how we sold our house and bought a little beat up old motorhome and took
on
off.
On eBay.
Bought it on eBay, believe it or not. And took off. And it just kind of chronicles the adventure and explains what was going on in our minds. And we do it in a humorous way. You know, it's a true story, but it's definitely humorous. And we like to have fun. And we're kind of funny people. So
I hadn't noticed that. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I mean, one of my favorite stories in the book is when we first got the motorhome.
Yeah.
And I'm all excited, and I'm on the inside trying to, you know, get it all nesty up, you know, so I'm doing a little painting, and David is kind of a bull in a china shop. He really is. He's his family says when he was 13, his hands look like olives on the end of a toothpick because he had grown so fast. And so that's my theory. He's just never figured out where his space is in the world. he's not a klutz. He just, I don't know how to explain it. But anyway, so I told him, you go work on the outside. I'll work on the inside. And, you know, we'll go from there. Well, he comes in with a broom for some reason and immediately bashes out the overhead light with the broom. And of course, I'm not thrilled. And he's like, well, I'll just super glue it. And I said, no, super glue is another way. I mean, I love this man and I'm not, you know, putting him down in any way. But another thing that he's really bad at is super gluing.
Oh, no, I'll admit to that. It doesn't ever end well.
So I said, you know, I'll go up to the hardware store and I'll get some super glue. And I got on my bike. I took off. It took me maybe 20 minutes. I come back and he's inside the motorhome. And he's got his hand up on the light fixture, and I just lost it. I'm like, David, what are you doing? I said, don't do it. And he goes, well, I found some super glue. And I'm like, well, I told you, you know, I'm going to deal with this. And then all of a sudden I look at his face, and there's like, there's paper towels just stuck to the corner of his mouth. And I've said, you know, and the light is on, and I'm like, you're going to electrocute yourself. And he said, I can't let go. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He had super glued his hand to the top of our RV. Yeah.
To the light fixture, which I had also glued permanently into the on position.
Yes. And there, his other hand is just coated with paper towels. Because what on earth would make somebody think that you take a paper towel and try to wipe off super? It was a disaster. So, but we did get him undone, and then
ultimately had to put a whole new light fixture in. But that's right.
So what do you have to
stuff like that that makes our lives a good story.
Well, it's going to be a great book, I'm sure. Now, people can get it. Will they be able to get it online, or would they get it from you, or how do they get it?
Well, it's available now already for pre-order on Amazon and on Barnes & Nobles and a couple of other of the online booksellers. It's through Skyhorse Publishing in New York City who's handling it, so they're going to release it in February. And it'll be in, you know, the usual places. But we have links on our website on gypsynester.com to go pick it up there too. And we hope everybody will order it and enjoy it. It's got a bunch. It has 100 color photos in it too that kind of chronicle the journey as it goes from way back when we first met till now. And so,
does it cover the divorce after you'd super glued your head?
No, there's no impending divorce. We've gone too far for that now.
I have to say, David and Veronica, it's been a real delight chatting to you. I've enjoyed it. Perhaps we could do this again some other time.
Please.
When you recover.
We can come down and see you down there too.
If you ever come to Western Australia, you're invited to stay with me. How about that?
Thank you very much. We certainly hope to take you up on that.
I've been told, reliably informed by people of yous, that the bed in our guest room is very, very comfortable.
Oh, good. Well, good. We're sold.
All we got to do is get there.
Yeah, that's a slight problem, isn't it? But it's been great speaking to you. I've been speaking to David and Veronica James from www.gypsynester.com. Great speaking to you both. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks a lot. That's it's been a pleasure.